Now batting for the Brewers Radio Network, play-by-play announcer Lane Grindle.
I think I know where you're going, and it's pretty innovative.
Yelich, a high drive, deep drive, down the line, fair, and gone!
You want to talk about athleticism? It's on display in the booth right now.
Lane Grindle, our play-by-play broadcaster for the Brewers. Lane, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. The Brewers are 3-0. The weather is perfect. The roof is currently open at the ballpark. I don't know if it will be at game time tonight, but how can you not be better than that?
Oh, I know. What did you think? What grade would you give Brandon Sproat yesterday?
Incomplete. Obviously, it wasn't his day yesterday, but one start isn't going to define Brandon Sproat as a Brewer or his career. This is a kid with really good stuff. It's a big moment for him. He's making his Brewers debut, and so it didn't go the way he wanted it to. But you can't really get better and develop without failure. So I think this kid, from everything I've heard from coaches and teammates and everybody else in between, is that he's the right kind of kid that will lean into this the right way. And I think his next start's going to be a really good one. I really do.
Lane, the news that's making the rounds today, multiple outlets reporting the team is close to signing Cooper Pratt, the young up-and-coming shortstop prospect who's currently with Nashville. The numbers that are being floated are pretty interesting. 8-year extension worth slightly more than $50 million. That's according to the likes of Bob Nightingale and others. Some people may call this a big gamble for a guy who's never taken a swing in the majors, but remember, the Brewers also did this sort of thing with Jackson Churio, and by and large, that's been a smashing success.
Yeah, I think this is the way clubs like the Brewers are going to do business now and moving forward. It's a great way to lock in young talent and to keep them controllable for a couple of extra years. I mean, essentially, you're buying 2 years of free agency in a deal like this, if it is the way it's being reported. Again, as you said, it's not official yet.
But, correct.
I think this is a wonderful move for the Brewers, frankly. This is a kid that has tons of talent, really, really special defensively, in my opinion. And I think a kid that has a lot of ceiling that is yet to be hit offensively, too. So this is how you're able to, build a team and retain some of your best talent. You got a window where you can do this, and the sooner you strike in the window, the better the deal is going to be in terms of being club friendly. So I think this is a smart move, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's not the last one. I'm sure the Brewers will try to do this with other young players in their organization.
You know, Andrew Vaughn, his injury was kind of a surprise yesterday. Do we know how he's doing?
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit. Obviously, anytime you have a broken hamate, that's something that's going to be, at least a month or so. So it's going to be a little bit before we see Andrew, and that's disappointing. I mean, it's disappointing on a couple of different levels. He had a great spring after having such a good second half of the season with the Brewers and really performing at a pretty good clip in the postseason too. So it's a big loss in the lineup. It's also another right-handed hitter. The Brewers have lost two really important right-handed hitters in the opening weekend of the season between Churio and Vaughn. So they went out and they made a move today for Luis Matos, who had been designated for assignment by the Giants. They make a trade to bring him in. That is a guy that I think will fit this roster very well. They needed another right-handed bat, frankly, in the time that they're going to be without Churio and Vaughn. Now, the good news is these aren't long-term injuries that are going to eat into the summer. We're going to get these guys back, and the Brewers will be at full strength once that happens, and they're playing pretty good baseball even without them. They did this last year, too, without Jackson. They didn't have Jackson for a month last year, basically the month of August, and that was one of their best months they've ever had as a franchise. So that's not a thing that's related to one another, because the Brewers are better with Jackson Churio. The Brewers are better with Andrew Vaughn. But they have depth. They have the ability to cover these types of injuries. It's one of the reasons why they have won three straight NL Centrals, because they are able to absorb injuries, I think, better than a lot of the other organizations are.
Agreed. I was going to ask you this. Our producer, Nate, he's a huge Brewers fan. So I saw this on TikTok. I saw a video of when all the guys were coming out on opening day, and Pat Murphy came out, and all the players were trying to shake Pat Murphy's hand before they went down and stood in the line. And Pat didn't shake any of their hands. And some of the players were shaking their own hands. Does Pat Murphy do that a lot? Or is that just like Pat was just so in the moment?
No, he's always done that. Opening day, postseason, when he just walks straight to the line. He doesn't go up and down the line and shake everybody's hand. He walks straight to his spot, and then he doesn't shake hands. He declines. And it's become a thing where everybody knows he does it. It's kind of a funny thing behind the scenes a little bit. But it's great when there's new players that haven't been around and they experience it for the first time. So like last year in the postseason, you know, guys like Brandon Lockridge weren't around for opening day. It's their first time doing the handshake line, and they're getting ready for the NLDS, and they're getting snubbed by the manager, and they're asking themselves, like, what happened here? And everybody else is kind of laughing because they know what happens. I mean, Yelly gets it. He walks straight out and just pounds him in the chest every time when he comes out to the line. So, that's a Murph thing. He's like, no, it's go time at that point. I don't need all this happy-go-lucky stuff. It's time to turn our game faces on and get ready to play a game.
So, Lane, I got to ask, speaking of managers, before we let you go, I mentioned earlier on in the show today that one of the fun things out of this weekend, who knows if it'll stick, but everyone seems to be having fun with ABS now that it's in the game, and that includes the broadcast teams as well. So the Twins were playing the Orioles over the weekend, and their manager, Derek Shelton, got a little heated after an ABS call went against them, thought it took a little too long for the pitcher to go.
And Derek Shelton's been thrown out! He's arguing with the robots. You can't defeat the robots.
Orioles.tv with the audio. So from your perspective, Lane, are you guys getting ready for all the robot-related puns you're going to work into the broadcast this year?
You know, I guess I should have anticipated this more. I've been shocked at how into the ABS challenges the crowd is.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I think part of that's because it's new. There's more drama to it than I thought. I mean, when they first started talking about this, I thought, like, well, what an anticlimactic way to end a game, right? Like if there's a challenge and it gets overturned. And now I'm starting to think it might be added drama in some ways, because there was a Eugenio Suarez at bat with C.B. Buckner as a home plate umpire, and he challenged twice and won twice. And the crowd's reactions, John Sadak is the Reds TV broadcaster, and I think John said in his call, he said, there's been two home runs hit in this game. This is the loudest the stadium's been so far. So part of that's because it's new. I think we are going to get a little bit more used to it, but it's fun. I think it's a good thing. It needs to be used in the right way, and I think teams are going to learn that as they go along. That's going to take some time. You know, if you're challenging a 2-1 pitch in the second inning with nobody on base, I don't think that's what that's there for. And I think most managers would agree they'd want you to save those challenges, unless it's just egregious and it's going to change the at-bat, because you know it's, you know, if you're the catcher, you know it's a middle fastball and there's no doubt it was a strike, or you know it was out of the zone as a hitter. It was so bad that there's no doubt in your mind it's going to get overturned. That's a little bit different. But guys are going to earn the equity within that dugout to use challenges or to not. You know, challenges might be revoked for some guys if they're not very good at this. So this is going to be a thing that's going to kind of tell the story as the season goes along, and I'm going to be curious to watch it unfold. But I think it's great that we're going to get calls right in the big moments late. You would hate, and we've seen games that end on a really bad missed call by a home plate umpire, and I would think that the umpires wouldn't like that either. They want to get this stuff right. So I think on the whole, this is going to be a great thing for baseball. It's not super invasive. That's the key. It happens quickly. It doesn't delay the game for a long period of time. And it's kind of fun because you get this graphic on the screen. It's like you're playing a video game for 30 seconds all of a sudden.
He is your Brewers broadcaster, the best in the business, Lane Grindle. Lane, thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.